Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I want to deal with lost things. We're in a series, and it's only two messages in the series. I can do those. But last week, if you were here last week, if you weren't, I'll just give you kind of a where we were. We were in Luke 15 last week, and we were dealing with the lost things. How many of you remember the lost things in Luke 15? The lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. One of the things I didn't mention to you because I didn't know it last week, I know it this week, is in that scenario of those three stories, they also represent the Godhead. Like the lost sheep is like Jesus, the good shepherd. The coin is representing the Holy Ghost because the woman gets the light out. Come on now. Gets a light out and searches. So it represents Jesus searching for you, represents the Holy Ghost searching for you. And then the one about the prodigal son, the prodigal daddy out there running to find his boy. I'm just saying that the Godhead has been revealed in that same thought. And I just wanted y'all to get that. It may not be important to you, but it makes sense to me as a minister. That God was doing more than just throwing out a little tidbit of a story and a parable, but He had the Godhead in mind. So we talked about that last week and about lost things, and this week I want to touch again on lost things, and we're going to read Luke 19:10, and that's really kind of our catch verse for us, and I like this verse. It's what is God's disposition toward lost things? And Luke 19:10 just sums it up for us. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. If that's not marked in your Bible, you might want to mark that. The Son of Man did not come to give you more money. Amen. Oh, yeah. See, you don't have to amen me. I know I'm right. The Son of Man didn't come to give you more money. The Son of Man didn't come to heal your body. Oh, no. I didn't say He didn't heal your body. I just said that's not why He came. He had a purpose for coming, and it was to seek and save lost folk. Amen? It was to search people out and get them saved. Now, in the process, did He heal? Absolutely. Did He prosper people? Absolutely. He supplied needs in the most ridiculous ways. One time He had a coin in a fish's mouth. So you may be in a hard spot or between a rock and a hard place and finances aren't there. You're saying, I don't see how God can do it. Well, if you can put a coin in a fish's mouth, He can bail you out. So I'm just kind of giving you the idea that we really need to create again in our hearts that you're here as a born-again believer to be a witness. You're not here just to get fat on the Word today. Now, if you gain a little spiritual weight, I'm glad you do. But that's not the purpose of the message. The purpose of the message is to prepare us for soul winning. Amen? And soul winning is not Romans Road. It's not something we hand out to you. Well, if I had a Bible study on soul winning, if you had it, you wouldn't do it anyway. Oh, I know I'm right. I don't have to defend myself. I just know this. I know when you first got saved, no one had to give you Romans Road to witness. Come on now. If you got saved on a Sunday night, Sam, when did you get saved? On Sunday night? Oh, you get saved on Sunday night. What did you do on Monday morning? You told somebody. No one had to give you a lesson on telling them anything. I'm just helping you. We need to understand that we're here, that Jesus can seek and save, and He's going to use us to do it. Let's deal with today, if you don't mind. And I want to just use a few thoughts, and we're going to deal with a couple areas. But the main area I want to deal with is lost in paradise. Now, maybe you've heard of Paradise Lost. Well, I hadn't lost paradise, but maybe I'm lost in paradise. And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there's some folk that come every Sunday morning that aren't born again. Oh, yeah, you don't have to amen me loud. But there are people that come every Sunday morning that don't have their act together. And the truth is, they're lost in paradise. And I don't know whether y'all know it or not, but God's in this room today. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So there's freedom in this room for you to be born again. And most people feel a little bit better in church. Now, the devil tries to make you feel good, but there's something good about being in the house of God and in His presence, even for a sinner. Oh, I know. Listen. How about the man that had the legion of demons? Huh? You remember when Jesus showed up on the shore of Gadara and he shows up there and he gets out of the boat? Your Bible says that demon-possessed man of a legion of demons ran to Jesus and fell down and worshiped him. And I'm going to tell you something. That wasn't those devils worshiping. There was something in that man that knew there was something in that man that could set him free from what was in him. And he ran there. And as soon as he did, the devil started saying, you can't have this. And all I'm saying is this. It feels good to be in the presence of God. Even for some of y'all that are jacked up. It just feels good. Because you know God does love you. And you may be jacked up, but he still loves you. Amen? I'm just saying, whenever you think God doesn't love anybody because they're mean or they're bad, you're missing the point. He loves all of us. Doesn't mean I'm going to heaven, but he loves me. I do not want to be lost in paradise. And I want to give you a few places to run to this morning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, if you don't mind. Genesis 2 and verses 16 and 17. It's interesting to me that the first time God talks about sin, he does it in the Garden of Eden, and he does it to two righteous people. Now, y'all going to stay with me today? All right. I don't want to hurt your feeling, but if you believe in, and listen very closely to what I say, I know this is going to be on the air, so I get that, but I'm going to say this. If you believe, once saved, always saved, regardless of what you do, you have a serious issue with God. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm not going to preach what he says to the world. I'm not going to preach what he says to sinners. I'm going to preach to you what he says to believers, to righteous people. How many of y'all believe Adam was righteous? Oh, come on now. How many of y'all believe Adam was righteous? He was made in the image of God. There was no sin in that man. He didn't even know how to sin. I mean, you think you're righteous by the blood of the Lamb. He was righteous by the creation of the Father. God created him in his image, created him without sin, and there was no sin around him. Y'all still tracking me? His wife was taken from his side, and there's a key verse that my son likes. I don't preach it often, but the Bible says they were naked, not ashamed. If y'all got naked up in here today, first of all, we'd have you thrown out. Second of all, you might be a little bit ashamed. I'm just saying, we don't do that today because we've already gone through the fall of man. Before the fall of man, before there was unrighteousness, nakedness was not an issue. We can't even think that. As soon as I say naked, you start thinking of body parts. You can be honest with me or not, but when I say that, that's what we start thinking about. And I'm just going to help you with this. The Bible says they were naked and they weren't ashamed. And you've got to ask yourself, why was that in the Bible? I want to tell you why it was in the Bible. Because they had no evidence, not a hint, not even a shadow of sin. Therefore, they could be naked and have no shame. I'm trying to build a case here that Adam was sinless. He had no sin. He was in right standing for God. How do I know he's in right standing? Because your Bible says that every day in the afternoon, the Bible said, and the voice of the Lord would come. Now, I like that part too. I could preach that. It didn't say God came walking. It said the voice of the Lord, the Word of God. The voice came walking. Whew. So the voice came walking and talking to Adam and Eve. Say right standing. That's what righteousness is, right standing, nothing between me and God, totally clear. And that's where they were. But let's look, if you don't mind this morning, about this lost in paradise issue. It's in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. Listen to this. And the Lord God commanded the man. Now, there's not a suggestion here. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly or surely die. In other words, we've got a problem right here. The problem is this. If you do this, you're going to die. He gave the first warning about disobedience to a righteous person. Now, you've got to ask yourself a question. Why wouldn't he tell him that to the devil? Well, the devil's already made his decision. He's already down by this time. He told a righteous person, don't do this if you want to stay alive. How many of you know that he did eat of the tree? How many of y'all do know that? But how many of you know he didn't die? He lived for 930 years. So you got to ask yourself a question. Was he dead or not? He was dead. So y'all looking at me strange right now. If you're looking at strange and you've got so much problem, let me get you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 very quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. Let's just look at something. Because I say he was dead, but I say he was alive. But he was dead and yet alive. Look in the New Testament. Paul had a little bit of theology about this live and dead stuff. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. Now, Paul is dealing with Timothy about widows and their actions and their activity. And I've got one verse. I'd love for somebody else to read it besides me, so I won't feel like I'm the only one in the room. Anybody got the wherewithal to read that verse out loud? 1 Timothy 5, 6. Oh, we've got one over here. I'll get you next. Whoa. She that lives in pleasure, satisfying the flesh. What did it say she was?
Dead while she
liveth. Who started reading over here? Dead even while she lives. Another translation, anybody? The idea is this. This is talking to righteous people. This is Timothy getting a letter from Paul about Christian women and said Christian women need to watch themselves that they don't live their life in wantonness, in other words, pleasure of the flesh and not taking care of the spiritual, or they will be dead while they're alive. And I'm helping you right now. You can sit up here breathing God's air. You can have 14 pounds of pressure per square inch on your body that keeps you from flying off this earth and sit in this room and be totally alive and dead. Because you can be alive on the outside while you're totally dead on the inside. Now that's a baby crying and she's not but about a year old. Give her a break. I'd rather have a crying baby than a sleeping saint any day. Defend those babies. She's been sick this week, too. I have to defend her. She probably doesn't like somebody in here, and she don't know how to cover it up. She doesn't know how to mask it like y'all do. I'm teasing. But the idea is this. The Bible says concerning the widows and concerning their lifestyle, they need to live a godly lifestyle. And if they live in wantonness or in sin nature or for the pleasure of the flesh, then they can be dead while they're alive. And I'm just helping you right now. Adam died when he ate the fruit. He died when he ate the fruit. He was wrong and he died. But he lived for 930 years, which means there is a spiritual death, although we're alive on the outside. Making sense to you? So we have to deal with that. And then Eve, if you look in chapter 3, verse number 4 of the book of Genesis, just very quickly, and here's what it says. It says, the devil comes to her, and what does he say here? Watch this. He's going to work the compromise. She didn't sin until she believed a lie. Right? But what was the lie? The lie was this. I don't want you to look at it. You certainly shall not die. Now, God just told Adam, you certainly will die. A righteous man, if you sin, you'll die. And then the devil is on the other side. Watch what he says. You're a righteous person. You ain't gonna die. Can you see what the comparison is now? He takes God's word, dealing with a righteous man, dealing with a man that knows no sin, and says, if you sin, you'll die, even to a righteous person. And he brings it over here and says, look, what he said is wrong. You will not surely die if you eat this. Can I say something to you? There are people sitting up in here right now think you can go sin and still live and God's happy with you and he's still going to be good to you and you're going to have all your blessings. I'm going to help you right now. I will give you scripture before you get out of here that I am the righteous of God in Christ. But if I sin and I don't repent, then I'm going to die. See, this goes against a lot of doctrine right now, and nobody really wants to split that hair, but I'm going to tell you, God warns His people because He loves His people, and He doesn't want you jacked up. And if you are, He wants you to repent. Amen? And I don't know how long his long suffering is. Maybe I do something wrong and I know it's wrong. And maybe I go 2 or 3 days and he doesn't do anything. Or maybe he convicts me of it and I repent real quick. I don't know the time frame with God. Here's what I know. I don't want sin in my life unrepented, and I don't want to die spiritually. Amen. So go with me to something. Let's go to Ezekiel. Now we've got the book of Genesis. Let's go to the prophets. I want to pick on Ezekiel. He is a great prophet. I like Ezekiel because he was just a young guy. He didn't know anything better than just say what God said. It got him in trouble all the time. He couldn't stay out of jail over his mouth. And he would tell God, God, don't make me do this. One of the worst things, y'all still find Ezekiel's Old Testament, Ezekiel 3:20, and it'll probably be up here and you can read it up there. One time, and this is what I like about it, one time God said there's a hole in the wall. And I want you to go, because all the people are on the other side of the wall, and they're doing bad stuff. I want you to go look through the hole in the wall. And the prophet went and looked through the hole in the wall and said, whoo, Lord, they're doing a lot of bad stuff. And then he got up and God said, now go on the other side of the wall and tell them. I don't know about y'all, but that's invasive right there. I was a peeping Tom and saw what they did, and then I went around and told them what they did. I'm just saying, God is not going to put up with some of the stuff we think God's going to put up with. Look at this in verse number 20. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil. When a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, I put a stumbling block before them. They will die. Since you didn't warn them, they will die of their sin. The righteous things that the person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for the blood. In other words, if there's a righteous person that's in sin, I'm obligated to bring it to them. But so are you, baby. Don't tell me that. If you see one of your friends and they're in adultery and they're talking about it, they're found out about it, it's our responsibility to bring it to them or the blood will be on our hands. Now, you got to think with me. They're righteous people. Why would they die? Because of sin. Being born again is not a license to sin. It is your freedom not to sin. But I do sin. Then repent when you sin. And don't plan to sin the next time. I mean, it's not rocket science here. Let's go to chapter 18. Stand Ezekiel. This runs through the book of Ezekiel. Look in Ezekiel 18:24. Check this one out. But if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things that the wicked person does, will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered because of the unfaithfulness that they are guilty of, and because of the sins that they have committed, they will die. I'm not preaching to sinners. Y'all got a pass today. This is totally to the those that think they're righteous group. Verse number, y'all okay with me so far? I mean, I love you. Verse 26, if a righteous man, here it is again, if a righteous man turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die of it because of the sin that they've committed, they will die. Now, look in chapter 33 because it does get a little bit better for the sinners, and I'll let y'all have some of this one. Look in chapter 33, verse 13, check this out. If I tell a righteous person that they will surely live, but they trust in their righteousness and do evil, none of the righteous things that that person has done will be remembered, and they will die for the evil they have done. Check out this next verse. You gotta like this one. If I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, but they turn from their sin and do what's just and right, if they give back what they took in a pledge for a loan, if they return what they've stolen and follow the decrees that give life and do no evil, that person will surely live and not die. And that's what Zacchaeus got from Jesus when he said, "You're born again." And Zacchaeus said, "I'm going to go give everything away, up to half my goods, and pay back everything I've stolen." Where did he get that? He got that from the Word of God. Amen? He understood that. And I know y'all thinking right now ahead of me thinking, "Yeah, but you ain't the New Testament. You're in the Old Testament." Well, look at verse 18, long as we're in the Old Testament. "If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, they will die for it." Verse 19, "If a wicked person turns from their wickedness and does what is just and right, they will live by doing so." I wish you would mark that in your Bible, that if you're righteous, you need to be doing good, because if you're doing evil, your righteousness will not be remembered. If you're evil and you've got a whole string of bad junk, you've got years of sin behind you, you've got a legacy, you're infamous in Auburn, Opelika for being the jerk you are. Can I tell you something? When you come to Christ, when you step into the kingdom, the Bible says He remembers that no more. Now that's a memory right there. I can turn it off. Now I like that about sin. It bothers me that about righteousness. Because I think if I'm living in the world and I'm committing adultery and I'm a born-again believer, if I'm being a drunk and I'm a born-again believer, if I'm a thief and I'm a born-again believer, if I'm a homosexual and I'm a born-again believer, that sin is going to cause this over here to be forgotten. As perfectly as God can forget and not remember your sin, He can forget and not remember your righteousness. Same God, same process. Y'all still with me? You're not loving me as much, but you're still with me. Look in Romans chapter 8. Let's go to the New Testament, because some of y'all are chomping at the bits to get this in the New Testament. And you wanted me to be in the book of Romans. Let's go. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Now, you're going to say, "Yeah, but Pastor, you're stacking the deck." Of course, that's what preaching is. There's a point to be proved, and we're doing an apologetic today on lost in paradise, because I don't want to be the pastor preaching to people that are lost in paradise. I want our born-again believers to live like they're born again. I want you holy before God. I didn't say perfect, like you don't have a problem. I'm talking about maturing in Christ Jesus. It is the goal of preaching. It's the goal of the Word of God, that you are maturing to the work of the ministry. Amen? Not that you're sitting up on a pew because it's Sunday morning. All right. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13, and we'll take a few verses. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Underline that in your Bible. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. "But if you live by the Spirit," "but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Now, I want you to circle that or mark it somewhere else. I want you to go to chapter 6. Just back up. Chapter 6, verse 16. Listen to this one. "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, that you are slaves of the one that you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." Y'all still tracking me? Now, who was he writing to? Look in Romans 1, 7 and 8. Because some of y'all are saying, "Oh, he was ripping up all the sinners because they wasn't living right." I just want you to go to Romans 1, verses 7 and 8. Let's see who he's writing to. "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people." Does anyone have another translation? That's Romans 1, 7. Romans 1, 7. "The loved of God," or "beloved of God." Yeah, "the beloved of God," or "children of God." Can I say something? Paul is writing to the believers. He's not writing to sinners. When he says don't sin and don't partake of it and don't live in it and don't keep the deeds of the flesh, and if you do, you'll die, he's talking to the church. Amen? So I'm just trying to help y'all right now. There is some stuff in here about us living godly. Very quickly, I want us to go to a couple more places in Paul's writing. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now, this is where you find some of the fruit of the Spirit, but you also find the fruit of the flesh. Look in chapter 5 of Galatians. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envies and drunkenness, orgies and the like. Listen to what he says. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't know if you know who he's writing to here, but we might need to find out who he's writing to. He's writing to the church at Galatia. He's writing to them. Paul, an apostle, verse number one, Paul, apostle, sent not from men nor of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him up from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, grace and peace be to you and God the Father who gave himself for our sins, rescue us from this evil age according to the will of God the Father. To him be the glory. He's writing to the church at Galatia. He's telling them, I'm warning you boys, y'all got to keep your life right. You've got to keep your life right. Amen. You've got to stay out of sin. Let's go to one more place, if you don't mind. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1. I know we're getting a lot of word today, but the Bible says we are washed by the cleansing of the water of the word. So I'm believing something's going on. Look in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Listen to this. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived. Who? Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. What he's saying here is, don't sin, don't be led away. And he's writing it to his brothers and sisters. Amen? Let's go to one more place in James just to see the end of it. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And we'll work toward a close on this. Listen to what he's writing. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should... Now watch it, because we got this wandering last week from sheep, didn't we? Watch what it says. My brothers and sisters, so who's he talking to? The church, brothers and sisters in Christ. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the what?
Truth.
Now I want you to circle that and just write out beside that John 14, 6, because Jesus says, I am the truth. So who are you wandering from? Okay, just saying. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from his error of the way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here's what I'm saying. He's writing to brothers and sisters. He's telling them, don't be deceived. He says you can wander from the truth. And then he says, if somebody in the truth goes to that person and brings them back, he says he's one a sinner. Pastor Mike, that's a little bit scary because I don't know if I've done something wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, a healthy dose of fear won't hurt you. I think we preach so much faith that we forget that God, I don't fear God. I don't fear God in the sense that he's mad or mean at me. Here's what I fear. He is God. I respect who he is. And I realized when Jesus said, don't fear the people, just knock you out and kill you. You better fear the one that can send your soul to hell. You better get a healthy fear in here that says you are God and I'm not. And I'm not going to bend your word. If you tell me as a believer, I've got to serve you, I'm going to serve you. If you tell me I can't commit immorality, I'm not going to be immoral if you tell me not to. And I'm the church. I'm not going to use my salvation as my get out of jail free card so I can sin. I'm going to come to Christ. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to be forgiven. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, and if I sin, not when I sin, no place for sin, but if I sin, I have an advocate. How many's ever needed a good lawyer? I'm going to tell you right now, everybody ought to raise your hands, because we all live for the devil and needed a good lawyer. And Jesus is a good lawyer. Some of us wouldn't know how to get you out of the courtroom. I mean, some of us couldn't get off the elevator on the right floor. We just don't know anything about it. But you've got an advocate with the Father that as a righteous person, because John wrote the letter to the church, as a righteous person, if you've done something wrong, I don't fear like I'm going to fall and go to hell. I fear like I've embarrassed the God that loves me. He loves me. He's in my heart, and I'm not treating him right, just like he were my dad, and I have a respect or a fear for him, and I want to get right. If I sin, I've got a lawyer called Jesus Christ the Righteous that defends me and gets me off the hook. Amen? But you don't get off the hook for something you did 2 years ago. This is a daily washing and regeneration of the Word. I'm not going to go to every place that we have this, but I can give you some more scripture, but let me give you these. What do I do, Pastor? Just prevent sinning. One of the great things you can do is study the Word of God and obey it. John 8:51. Get the Word and obey the Word. Follow the Word of God. Not just the Ten Commandments, although that's good, but follow the Word of God. And then continue in the Word of God. Amen? You continue. Let's look at John 11, 25 and 26. We'll just go there quickly. John 11, 25 and 26. You got to get the Word of God. You've got to be obedient to God. So when someone says, let's go out and do whatever it is, and God says, don't do that thing, whatever it is, then you just don't do it. You obey God. Amen? So here's what John 11, 25 says. And he said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? If I'm alive, I will die. But when I die, I don't really die because I'm born again. So if I'm born again, that's born twice, then I only have to die once. But if I'm only born once and I'm not being born again, then I'm going to die twice. Right? First death is in the ground. Second death is in hell. I'm just saying I don't want to go there. And I'm saying that's not what's prepared. Let me close on this thought, because some people still don't get the idea about being saved and committing sin, because in their brain they've been taught, or they picked it up, or the devil has just made it a point to them. Now that you're in the kingdom and you do anything wrong, it's not going to be held against you and you're free. And I'm just telling you, that's not what the Bible says. Someone got to suck it up and live the Bible. Look what the Bible says in Luke 8:13. How many of y'all remember the story of the seed? I'll just give you the pertinent verses. In the story of the seed, if you look up in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 6, Jesus is talking about the planter planting the seed. It's in Luke 8:6. And he said, some of the seed goes on rocky soil. How many of y'all remember that? Rocky soil. It goes in the ground. Here's what the Bible says. And it springs up quickly and it grows into a plant, and then it dies as soon as the sun gets on it. Y'all remember that story? Jesus explains that seed and that ground in verse number 13, and he says this. He said, the seed is the Word of God, and the ground is the heart of people who receive it with joy. Now, here's your key word, receive. The word is receive. Now, write these verses down. I'm not going there today, but the word receive is the same word used in Acts 11:1. To describe Cornelius' salvation. It's used in Acts 8, 12 through 14. dealing with Philip and the Samaritans, that they were saved. They received the Word of God. Cornelius and his family received the Word of God. In Acts 17, the Berean church, the Bible said, and they received. So the word receive means I'm born again. I've gotten my life right. Y'all understand that? The word receive in this verse, Jesus said this, they are people that have received the Word and they had a lot of joy. But as soon as temptation came, ouch. How many of y'all know sometimes temptation is a sickness? Well, if God loved me, I wouldn't be sick. I'm just quitting God. Sometimes it's another man, another woman in your life. Do we need to go there? I'm just saying, I don't know what the problem is, what's making your ground rocky, but the test is coming. And the test could be sexual immorality. The test could be finances. The test could be just trouble in your family. You got to make up your mind that when the test comes, we sing about it, that God's going to love me and be good to me in good times or bad, in storms or in the calm. And I'm just saying, if you're having a bad day, don't quit. You've got the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God. It's in good soil. Say it's in good soil. Yeah, you're not going to wilt and die. We're going to pray for you. We're going to love on you. You're going to love yourself. You're going to love God, and you're not going to quit. Say, I will not quit. The Bible means, when it says receive, it means that they were born again. They received the Lord. So, I want us to stand. Talking to the church. Talking to the church. In the parable of lost things, the sheep was in the fold and wandered out. Say in the house. Yeah. That sheep didn't get kicked out. It wasn't an orphan out, and the sheep herder just went and found an orphan. That was his sheep. He said, that's my sheep that was lost. It was in the house and it got lost and he went and found it. How many of you remember the coin? Where was the coin lost? Where was it lost? Not in the front yard. And it wasn't lost in the garage, although you could probably lose a tank in your garage. How many of y'all got messy garages? They were made to put cars in, not to put your junk in. Think about that a little bit. I can't say much. I don't have a garage, but everything else I got is full of junk. Hush. The coin wasn't lost in the street. The coin was lost in the house. The son, listen closely, the son received his full inheritance in the house. And then he left. Y'all still tracking me? Now some people are going to say, yeah, but you know, Pastor, people that were saved and then they went back into sin, they were just never saved. You know, I really resent that. I resent that attitude. I resent that concept. That means to say that I've lost all of my ability to make a decision. All I got to do is ask you why you divorced, who you divorced. Amen. You made up your mind to get married. You made up your mind to quit. You were under a covenant. Y'all have to amen, man. No, man. I'm not down on you. I'm just saying. Here's all I'm saying. You can have a covenant with God. God's not going to break the covenant. But baby, you better remember you're a part of the covenant. You cut covenant. When Jesus died on the cross, he did the work of the sacrifice. You do the work of agreement. I don't have to sacrifice. All I got to do is agree with what happened. The boy got his inheritance. He was in the house and he chose to leave. Here's what I love about the dad's statement. He says it twice. When the boy comes home, the daddy's running to get him. He falls on him and hugs him and kisses him, smelling like a hog, hugging him and kissing him. And the kid started trying to apologize. And the daddy said, shut up, I don't want to hear it. All he got out was, Daddy, I'm sorry. He didn't get to anything else. And the dad said, that's all I need. He doesn't need you to regurgitate all of your sin problems. He just needs you to ask him to forgive you.
Yes.
He doesn't need your list. He knows your list. When that kid came home, Sam, one of the things he said was, the dad said, he said, this is my son that, listen to this, was dead and is alive. Here's your key word, again. Again. He had been alive. He's dead. And now he's alive again. He was alive in the house. He went out into sin, but now he's back home and he's alive again. I want you to bow your head.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.